All of them. Excellent choices. Now, we've looked at this passage together several times. I was looking back over my notes, old notes on these verses, and we've looked at this together several times, just with me, and I know you've heard other men preach from it, but I... like bread. I don't think I could grow tired of hearing of Christ the bread. Like bread. And you, I'm sure, have noticed the theme throughout this chapter is bread. For that reason, you remember when we started this chapter? Do you remember how this chapter started? It's a feeding of the loaves and fish, right? For that reason, I believe that those loaves have to picture Christ. They have to. I believe that. Because the whole thing on John 6 is bread. And that's how he began this chapter, to feed the people with loaves. All right, now most of the people he was talking to here did not understand what he was saying. Like most who hear the gospel today. I don't know, we had mostly familiar faces this morning, but I don't know if everyone that was here this morning knew or understood what it meant, for that matter, tonight, I don't know. But most who hear the gospel today don't understand the gospel now, the gospel. And if anyone does understand and believe, it's because God chose them and revealed Christ to them. And gave them this faith to eat. Like I said, it's not something you can really describe, eating. Our Lord did not really go in depth describing what it meant to eat his flesh, did he? He just said that. Look down at verses 64 through 70. If you know, oh, blessed are you, highly favored among men and women. You've been chosen. Look at verse 64. There's some of you that believe not, he said. What? Because Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, no man can come to me except it were given unto him of the Father. And some left him, and he turned to the disciples and said, will you go? Now, he's not asking for his own information. He's proving them. But he knew who would. Look at verse 70. He said, have not I chosen you 12? The reason you don't leave is because I chose you. The reason you know anything, those poor ignorant fishermen stand, tax collectors and so on. The only reason they knew anything is because Jesus Christ chose them and revealed the truth to them. That's the only reason. He said, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is the devil? He knew. He knew. So if you know what Christ is saying here in this passage, better yet, if you believe and you've eaten him by faith, it's because he chose you. And now, our Lord had just told these people, look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, the work of God. Verse 28, they asked him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And he said in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. This is the work of God. This is what God must do in us. This is what God requires of us. It's God's work. He has to work it in us to believe. Faith is the gift of God. And it's the only work by us, which is really not a work. Is that clear? It's really not our work, because he does it in it. It's God which worketh in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. His good pleasure is that we believe on the Son. And so this is the only thing he receives from us, accepts by faith. And that's not of ourselves. To believe on him. I like the last part of verse 27 is kind of like Romans 11:36. That deserves a message all by itself. Him hath God the Father sealed. Him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus Christ is the one God the Father set forth, whom God exalted at his right hand, whom God sealed or made the covenant head, the surety, the Lord and Savior of sinners, only one, the only way whereby sinners can be saved. He's sealed. That's sealed for all time and eternity, that Christ is the only light, way, truth, and life. Him hath God the Father sealed. Well, they didn't understand that. These people had heard him. They didn't understand what he was saying. This is the work of God that you believe. Do you understand? Steve Park, do you understand that? Oh, blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Well, they were trying to figure it out by logic and all. You remember back there when they said, how can he give us his flesh to eat? How could it? Now, they didn't understand, and they continued their questions to him. And it's like when you deal with people concerning the gospel, you run into the same thing. When you deal with somebody concerning the gospel, and you keep saying, now, salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's in Christ. And they say, yeah, yes, but. And they keep asking questions. But wait a minute now. They don't understand. It's not salvation of the Lord, but. It's not Christ is all, but. That's just all there is to it. They don't understand. They keep asking questions. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him. But. They kept asking questions. Verse 30, and they said, well, what sign? All right, this is a work. He'd just been talking about work, didn't he? This is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe. This is the work of God. All right, they said, works, okay, work. They got to think about works. And they said, well, you show us a sign. What do you do? What's your work? He just told them. What's your work? What do you do? And they said, this is so subtle. And men do it today. Our Lord said, an evil generation seeks after a sign. No sign will be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. You know what he meant by that? Do you? You got to know what that means. He said, an evil generation seeks after a sign, but no sign will be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah.
And then he went on to say, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. The gospel. It's the only sign God gives for people to believe by. And any other sign, Henry, if anybody believes anything else, it's a delusion sent by God because they didn't receive the gospel. The gospel is the only thing. The word is the only thing he gives to believe by. That's it. Preaching of the word. And these people were saying, yeah, okay, what you're saying is good. That sounds good. But we want to see something. Isn't that right? That's what they're saying. This is the work of God that you believe. Okay, that sounds good, but show us something. Are you with me? I'm getting dull looks. It's the same thing happening today, you know. That preaching's all fine and everything, but let's see something. Do something. Dance. Do something, you know. To heal. No, that's not. This is it. This is what God uses, Stan. This is the work of God. What I'm doing right now. God hath chosen. It pleased God by the what? Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And this is the only miracle, really, that God's people are going to see. And, isn't it a miracle? Isn't God's word? Aren't you seeing more and more what a miracle this book is? Aren't you seeing signs, Jeanette? Clear visions. Do you see a vision? That's what Joel was talking about too, over there when he said, Joel too, your young men and young women shall prophesy and see visions. Your young men shall see visions. Visions of what? Visions of Christ. And young men like Tom Hardy and Todd Niver will go out and, boy, they'll be sons of thunder preaching this vision. Vision of grandeur. Vision of glory. Vision of Christ. Do you see that? Do you see that? Blessed are your eyes. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. We got a sparse little group here tonight. I'm thankful for everyone, but so-called churches are filled with people and there's lots going on. You know, they're seeing a lot happen. They're seeing a lot, but they're not seeing half of what we're seeing. Are they? We're seeing the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're seeing ourselves face to face as in a looking glass. Well, they said, look at verse 31. They said, now our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he. And they were referring to Moses. Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. But my Father gave you that bread from heaven. And this is so typical. Moses did great things. Now, Moses did... if you were a man of God, Moses didn't do anything. And they quoted the Scripture. Psalm 78 is what they're quoting. Let's turn over there, okay? They're quoting the Scripture to the Word made flesh. Well, as it is written, he wrote it. Think about that. That's the reason he said, he looked at those scribes and he says, you do err, not knowing the Scripture. And Psalm 78 is what they were quoting. And I went back and read the whole Psalm and it's marvelous. The Psalm 78, look just several verses here, 1-4. Look at, give ear, O my people, to my law or my word. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the great works of Moses. That's not what he said. The praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Look down at verse 7. That they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God. Look down at verse 22. The Lord is speaking, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna. He did it. Rained down manna from heaven them to eat and given them corn. Look at verse 13. God divided the sea and caused them to pass through. Verse 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the dry land. Moses didn't do anything. He's just like a rake in the hand of he's like a tool in the hand of God. And he doesn't boast of anything. Well, they were bragging on Moses. And that's exactly what's going on today in religion. And go back to the text now. That whole psalm there declares what God hath done. And yet these ignorant men and women were attributing power to Moses. Now, does that ring a bell? It hadn't changed a bit today. When men speak of salvation and things today, they mostly talk about what man's got to do and man's work and this and that and the other. Right? Right, Steve? Everybody you talk to at work, what do they want to talk about? Man's part in salvation. It's a greater part than what God has in it, according to them. But our Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, there's that saying again, of a truth I say unto you, Moses didn't do anything. But my Father gave you that bread from heaven. Salvation is not of man, it's of the Lord from start to finish. He says He's the author and He's the what? Finisher of faith. And everything, every mean, you see, God uses means. And that's what men like to talk about. They like to talk about means. There's a lot of, why? Because there's a lot of M-E in that, me. Right? And M-A-N in that, me and man. It means, you know, that's what they like to talk about, isn't it, Henry? Isn't that all that people want to talk about? That reveals the state of a man's heart. He that glorieth in the Lord, and what's he going to talk about? He's going to talk about the Lord. What great things the Lord has done. He that glorieth in the flesh and in man and in me, he's going to talk about me. That's just so. God uses means. Yes, He uses preaching. I got to thinking about what I'm doing tonight, what a high calling it is, and what a thing that God uses, but the preacher's nothing. He's nothing. He's nothing. One of the brethren prayed for me tonight, and I was so thankful. And I thought, well, if God doesn't use the tool, if God doesn't speak, I'm an empty gong. It's like a plow or a rake or any kind of tool in the man's hands. It's only as good as, it's only as useful as the man using it uses it. Did I make that clear? If I'm plowing with a plow, it's only going to do the job as well as I know how to use that plow. It'll only go as deep as I make it go. Right? So there, preaching nothing. But God does use preaching. We don't despise small things or small preachers. And repentance.
repentance. We've got to repent or we'll not be saved. Repent, our Lord says. Repent. Well, where does repentance come from? Does a man just up and change his mind? The thief on the cross, did he just all of a sudden get a change of heart? Well, yes, he did. That's exactly what happened, wasn't it? But he didn't change it. That's the point. He didn't change it. You can't change your heart. You can't do open heart surgery on yourself, can you? Well, men think they can spiritually. Yeah, he had a change of heart. Well, if he had a true change of heart, God did it. The goodness of God. Is it Romans 2:4, John? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What about faith? Oh, everybody likes to brag on faith. And faith is a means. Without faith, you're not going to please God. And faith is believing. It's trusting. It's looking to. It's committal. So many things. Faith. Man's got to believe. He's got to believe. God's not going to believe for you. You've got to believe.
But He's going to give you that faith.
It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God.
See, Moses didn't give you that bread.
And you didn't get that anything else either on your own from man. But God. That's the principle here. Look at verse 32 now. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread, but my Father giveth you the true bread. The true bread from heaven. Now, we don't have time, but he said here, my Father giveth you. And I went all the way through here and other places and looked at how many times this word giveth is used. Giveth or gave or giveth. You wouldn't believe how many times. This is a big word all the way through this chapter and the whole Gospel of John.
Do you remember when John started out over there in John chapter 3 where he said a man can receive nothing except what?
Everybody likes to talk about receiving Jesus, don't they? This is what the world likes to talk about, how they receive the Lord as their personal Savior. Accepted, same word, receive, accepted. They accepted Jesus, and everybody likes to talk about that, don't they? I tell you what I like to talk about.
How He giveth
and giveth. Give, that's grace is what that is. That's what that is. All the way through this thing, how He giveth. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. All that the Father give me shall come unto me. And on it goes. My sheep shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life. On and on. That's the theme all the way through. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is by grace. Every aspect of it. Well, the subject at hand here is bread. And he said, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. True bread from heaven. So let's look at that just briefly, okay? Just for a little bit. True bread. God's bread. He said, the bread of God. Verse 33, look at it. Gather yourselves now. Come on. Get with me. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. True bread. The bread of God. All right, let's look at this. What is this true bread? What is God's bread? Well, we looked at meat this morning, didn't we? Looked at several things concerning meat. Well, bread. What is bread? Bread is food. It's life-giving food. Life-giving food. Now, Christ already said that meat was necessary, but meat that doesn't perish. He already said that meat which endureth.
And that's Christ. He is the meat. He said that. My flesh is meat indeed. And if you eat and drink Him by faith, you'll live forever. Well, bread is food too. It's another form of food, bread. And it's necessary to life. And He said this, you know, He said this three times here in this one chapter. He said, he that eateth this bread will live forever. Live forever. What if I announced that? What if that was announced on the morning news tomorrow, that if you eat, we've come up with an exotic plant that they got down in the jungles of Peru, and if you eat it, you'll live forever. What would happen? Huh? What would happen? Well, it'd be hysteria and chaos. People beating it. You know what would happen. Well, our Lord says, if you eat this bread, you'll live forever. Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, I say, Lord, give me this bread. I want this bread. Bread is food necessary for life, yea, eternal life. Secondly, bread is made by someone. Look at it there. It says, Moses gave you not that bread. Verse 32. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Bread just doesn't appear. I know kids think it does. It's just there in the store. It's there. Just they like money. You know, they think money comes that way, don't they? Men do. Think when Hannah was a little girl, we went somewhere, did something. She wanted something, is what it was, and we didn't. We said, "Honey, we don't have any money. We can't afford it." She said, "Well, write a check. You got a bunch of those, don't you? Write one." That's what she thought. You know, if you don't have money, just write a check. And sadly enough, that's what we all do. And the check bounces. But that's what kids think. Money grows on trees. It just comes. You know. Maybe they think that about bread. Well, bread just doesn't appear. But it comes from someplace. It takes a process. There's a process involved in the making of bread. Look over at John 12. John chapter 12. Our Lord says this. John 12. Well, He tells how it begins. The process begins. John chapter 12. Now, when our Lord came forth as that true bread was on Calvary's tree, and then after He'd risen, verse 23, and He said this, "The hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified." The bread's just about done. Mindy makes that bread and puts it in the oven, and I kind of hover around, you know. I just kind of mill around the house, smelling, sweet smelling savor, and I think, is it done yet? And then finally, when it comes out of that oven, she puts out, it's done. And this is what our Lord is saying, it's just about done. The hour has come. The Son of Man will be glorified. Now look, verse 24 though. Here's the beginning of it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, oh, it'll bring forth much fruit. Now this is the process of bread. And He said this is how it starts. Death. Death. Christ said, for this hour I came into the world to die. The world talks about His life, and oh, what a life it was. But it would have been no good to us if He hadn't died. You remember that old preacher? Well, I called him a preacher. His name was Rex Humbard. You remember him, Rex Humbard? Anybody? Glad you don't.
glad you've forgotten me. Hope you forget other names like Oral Roberts and Robert Shuler and all those others, Billy Graham, and forget them. Well, there was a fellow, he was a famous, you remember him sadly, Jeanette. He was on national TV for years when I was a boy and a young man, and he said, got all caught up in emotion one time, preaching so-called, and he said, talking about the crucifixion, he said, now, if I'd have been there, I'd have stopped them. That's how ignorant that man was. If I'd have been there, I'd have stopped them. Number one, he'd have been right in there crying for him to be crucified. That's number one. He's ignorant of his own self. And number two, he's ignorant of the divine, eternal purpose of God Almighty before the foundation of the world. He's ignorant of salvation, that if Christ didn't die on that cross, he would remain in his sins. He'd die in his sin. That man, plumb ignorant. Christ said, for this hour I came. What's that? To live a good life? Well, he did. I'm glad he did, and he imputed that righteousness to it. But that would be no good to us unless he died and put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it'll stand alone. He's going to be alone. There's not going to be a man in heaven with him. Is that right? He'll be the only man in heaven by virtue of his righteousness. Right? But he died because he was made sin for us. He who knew. What our Lord says, seed planted. Seed planted. You hear the word seed anywhere in the Scripture? The woman's seed. I started this out. He's making bread. God's making bread in Genesis 3. He started making bread. God said, I'm going to give you a law of bread. And he started in the beginning with a seed. Woman's seed. That's Christ. All right? In the fullness of time, that seed is going to sprout forth. A sprout. It's going to take root, and then it's going to come up a sprout. Does that ring a bell? Isaiah 53, come forth as a root out of dry ground, sprouts up. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The seed was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he grew up as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. And wisdom and stature. And that little corn of wheat falls in the ground and it sprouts up and it starts gathering strength and getting more and more green and more green and reaching for the sky. And finally one day it bears what? Fruit. It bears fruit. A grain. And you know, like one old writer wisely said, that plant which bears the most fruit hangs its head the lowest. Christ said, I'm meek and lowly. Fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, goodness, meekness. Fruit. He had the fruit without measure. He had the Spirit without measure. He bore all manner of fruit. That's what that ring a bell. Over in Revelation it says that the leaves of this tree are for the healing of nations, and they bear all manner of fruit. All manner.
He's made unto us all manner of fruit. Right? All right, and then when it bears fruit in time, what happened? After it's mature, bears full fruit, what happened? What do you do? Right, cut it down. In its prime, you don't wait till it begins to, you know, overripe. And do you, Henry? You want to get it right at its time, when it's sweetest, like an ear of corn, when it's at its fullness, it's when it's at its fullest of sap. You go out there and you grab one of those. Oh, I'm making you hungry, aren't I? You grab one of those white ears of whatever, Silver Queen or yellow, Golden Delicious, and you could just squeeze it and it just burst with juices. And you need it raw. A good corn, you need it raw. I love to eat it raw. Love to eat raw corn. Well, Christ was cut down in the fullness of time, in his prime, 33 and a third year. They say a man's at his full sticker, maybe not mentally, but he is physically anyway. Well, Christ was in his 30s, the fullest, in his prime, in the fullness of time, Christ was cut back, cut down, and hung up. Hung on a tree, crucified. And then you know what you do when you take, after you cut down that ear of corn or that stalk of corn, you take that, pluck that fruit from it, what you do next is what? What do you do? What do you do, begin to do with that grain? You go, we're making bread now. We're not making corn pudding or corn on the cob. We're making bread now. What do you do? What's the next thing you do? You dry it out and you grind it. Right, you grind it. You grind it. And you crush it. Well, Christ, the Scripture says, was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed under the weight of our sin. Right? He was crushed. Bruised, wounded, bruised for our iniquity. And then after you crush up that corn and beat it to a pulp, pulverize it, grind it to powder. And then what do? Then you knead it, you make it into dough, and then what do? You stick it in the oven. Stick it in the oven. And God, the Scripture says, laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he was cast into hell. Yes, he was. He was cast into hell, because that's exactly what Psalm 16 says. Now, I don't know. I don't think that Christ actually went to Hades or the actual place called hell. I don't believe that. Hell is separation from God. That's what hell is. And I believe in those 3 days, I don't believe for a minute that those 3 days that he was in the tomb that he actually went to hell. I don't believe that for a minute. There's nothing in Scripture that says that. Not at all. I believe, you want to know what I believe about that, those 3 days? I believe that fit man went somewhere with our sin. Hey, John, I believe that scapegoat went out in the wilderness somewhere to deposit our sin behind God's back. It took 3 days to get there. And put them in a place where they'll never be found again. And I'm spiritually speaking, you know that. But Christ, nevertheless, on Calvary's tree, in 6 hours, he endured hell. He was cast into hell. And that when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when he was in hell, right there. Because that's what hell is. Forsaken by God. He was cast into hell. But Psalm 16:10 says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer thine holy one to see corruption. What happens next? It goes into the oven. What happens next? When it's time, what happens next? It rises and comes forth. You bring it out of that oven. You open the door of that oven and you bring it forth, and what do you have?
Bread.
Bread. And I'm getting hungry. Well, Christ is that bread. Christ is that bread. He came forth from the tomb as the true bread of God, the only food for the soul, the only food that satisfies. Philip Henry, not Matthew, Philip said, bread is substantial food. Substantial food. I'm talking about whole wheat bread now. Don't give me none of that light or diet. I'm like Milton. Or maybe Milton's changed his tune now. He's getting pretty heavy. But
he said, I don't like anything light or diet.
That's how he said. He says light too, like Kentuckians did.
Light or diet. Don't give me any of that. Well, don't give me any of that gospel and that preaching like that either.
Whole wheat gospel, the whole counsel of God. That light, you ever notice how light and diet bread has holes all in it? I remember getting some white bread. And big holes, it looked like rats been in it. That's exactly this preaching that goes on today. Full of hole. Full of hole. Rats have been in it. They have been in it. Lighter, I want whole wheat. I want a whole gospel. They talk about a full gospel. Well, the only gospel that's full is that which is full of Christ. It's full of His glory and full of His person, full of His workings and empty of man. That's the full gospel. That's the whole gospel. That's substantial bread. That's what he said. Philip Henry, it's bread is substantial food. Many makes... This is killing me. She makes oatmeal bread. See, the reason it's killing me is because she didn't make any this week. I don't know what's wrong with this woman. She says, no bread. There's no bread at home. When I go home tonight, there's not going to be any bread there. She served us today, Hannah, what did Mom? Hamburger buns heated up. Well, let's get off of that. At any rate, she made this bread out of oatmeal, oatmeal bread. And I said, honey, that's it. That's it. Don't ever. And it's heavy. I mean it weighs. Oh, it's heavy. And she cooks it just like I like bread. And it's full. I mean, every ounce of that bread is just full of bread. It's just rib sticking grub, I'm telling you. And I said, honey, that's it. Don't do any other bread of any other kind. Make this from here on out. This is it. And that's exactly what the believer says when he hears this gospel. Right? It's exactly what they say. This is it. Christ said, he that hungereth, he that cometh to me. Look at it there. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Verse 35. And never thirst. Once you found this gospel, right, Rebecca? You can't tolerate anything else. It's all full of holes. It's light. It don't fill you up. It's light as air, isn't it? All this gospel is preaching is going on. It's light as air. It's wind. It's wind, all right. I'll tell you what kind. Flatulent preaching. I'll just say it. It's flatulent preaching is what it is. This is full preaching, isn't it? A full cry. His person and His work. Go ahead, quote me on that. That's what I said about today's preaching. Go ahead. I don't care. I don't care. That's exactly what Isaiah Elijah did to those prophets up on that mountain. Where's your God? He's taking a trip. That's exactly what he said, Henry. Mocking him. Well, this is true bread. And once you've found it, once he reveals it to you and feeds it to you, oh my, you never want anything else against true bread. Isn't it, sinner? this is true bread. This is bread for the soul. This who Christ is and what he did is just what an old sinner needs. He's hungering for righteousness, and he's found it. And he doesn't want anything else. Tell me, don't talk to me about my righteousness. It won't satisfy. It won't fill me with joy. It just fills me with shame. But tell me about that righteousness Christ provided, and it fills me with joy. It just fulfills all I need. It's fulfilling. Whole bread, a whole lot of Christ is what I need. Don't you? Well, and this goes along, and I'll quit. This goes along with what we were talking about in the Bible study this morning. Our Lord said, he that eateth meat, eateth my flesh. My flesh is meat into he that eateth this bread. I am the bread, he said. Eating is not something you have to be taught to do. Eating, you see, comes naturally. It's a sign of life. You don't have to teach a little baby to nurse. It comes out. Just that's exactly what it wants to do first thing. Right? And from that day forward, if that child's alive, it'll want to eat and keep eating. And when they get big, they want to eat more and more and more. Steve, you're alive. And so all of us, everybody, and ain't a skinny person in here. That's what I told them that at Fred's, and they got a big kick out of that. I said, dude, we've all been so blessed. I said, look, right here, there's not one skinny person in this room. And they're not in here either, except Charles back there. But eating, you see, is a sign of life. Isn't it? It's just the evidence that life is there. It's a reflex action. It's an instinctive action. It's a consuming desire. I'm hungry right now talking about that bread. Literally, I am hungry. I'm going to go home and get me something to eat. Won't be any bread there, but I'll get me some Breyers chocolate ice cream. But if this is the point I make, if Christ is in you, ain't nothing, but nobody's going to have to keep telling you to eat. Isn't that right? I do exhort us. I see the appetite wanes. That worries me. But now, just the fact of the matter is, if Christ, and I need this, if Christ is in you, you have life, then worshiping Christ is going to come natural. It's a sign of life. You don't. It's not an option. I asked Brother John that. Earlier this morning, I wanted an honest answer from him. I said, Brother John, do you ever, Sunday morning or maybe even Wednesday night, sit down and say, well, am I going to go worship or not? And I thought about my own self in this matter. Back when I used to work a secular job and work, you know, 8, 10, 12, 16 hours even, and come time to worship, and the flesh was so weak and so tired and all that. But I'm being honest with you now. I don't recall a time where it was an option to me. I'm just being as honest with you as I can. I don't recall a time where it was an option with me. Eating's not an option. You're hungry, you eat. Nobody has to say, come on now, eat. You eat. You want to eat. Now, there are times. We go through bad times, and there are times when we're tired and so forth. But you understand what I'm saying. The principle is it's just a matter of fact. If life is in there, you eat without even thinking about it. We've discussed this before. It's not an option. Worship's not an option to the child of God. You know what I'm saying, Vicki? Worship's not an option. It's life. Christ is life. If Christ is life, this is what you do. You eat. You eat. Well, Christ said, if you eat this bread, you'll never die. Never die. And you'll never grow tired of eating it either. Can you believe that? Andrew, can you believe that? That somebody could actually come to go to church for 40 years and not get tired of it. 50 years and not get tired of it. Actually, get to the point where that's all they want to do. Can you believe that, Andrew? Do you really believe that? It's so. So, this is bread for the hungry. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Now, fill them up. Open your mouth. Fill you up. Fill you up. All right. I hope you do hunger. All right, let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Every word is full to the brim of glorious truth. Truth as it is in Christ. And we thank You for it. Lord, forgive us. Forgive this poor preaching. And forgive poor hearing. And forgive us. Our lack of hunger, and we pray that You would increase our appetite, O Lord, that You would create in us this hunger and thirst after righteousness, that You would cause us to open our mouths that they might be filled, that You would cause us, like our brother read, to seek Your face, to say from the heart, Thy face will I seek, O Lord. Lord, give us this bread and give us this hunger. And give us life eternal, we pray. And we thank You now for everything that You do for us and have done for us, and this day especially. Bless the word. Don't let the fowl of the air take it away or the thorns of life choke it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.